think with you this morning about Isaiah chapter 35. Life is an adventure if you're a Christian. Life is an adventure because God, there is no other one like God. That's really what the title of this sermon is saying. When we say you alone are the Lord, that means there's nobody else on the shelf, on the God shelf. There is no other one like Him. Now, what we might expect to find out is that God is a little bit odd. If there's nobody else like Him, He's going to be a little bit odd. In the sense that He's not going to always do things as we would. He's not going to think about things the way we think about things. He's not going to see things the way we tend to see things. And so from that standpoint, God may seem a little bit odd to us sometimes. Life is an adventure if you're a Christian. It was an adventure this past week to spend the week up in the mountains. That was nice. But there were 117 children between ages of 8 and 12. That's an adventure. But there always are opportunities for wonderful surprises as well. One of the things I thought about yesterday as we were driving back was how God is going to use what are now little boys who have a hard time sitting in class and don't always remember to take a shower. That God's going to use little boys like that to be men of God. God's going to use little girls who sometimes have little fights with each other. Or who like to go down and play in the creek. And when you see them after they played in the creek, they've got all of this dirt all over them. And it's hard to imagine that they one day are going to be a woman of God. And yet, God does surprising things. I've got to tell you about this little girl from Odessa. I found out that explained a lot, that she was from Odessa. She was a funny little girl. She said, I noticed that she kept walking around camp with her tennis shoes and the front of her foot in the shoe, but the heel was just on top of the shoe. You get the picture of what I'm saying there? And she kept walking around camp like that. And she was in my class in the morning, and she was walking up to class, and I said, Destiny, why are you walking on your shoes like that? And she said, well, I'm a little short girl, and these are like high heels. Someday, those little girls like Destiny are going to be women of God, grown women who will be mothers and be leaders in their family and encouragers in their family and will be a great part of the church. And the way we look at that, all we see is kind of a strange little girl. But you see, God is odd enough that He sees something else there. You alone are the Lord, God. God is odd. That's borderline poetry. That's not really much poetry. But it is excellent theology. God is odd in the sense that humans probably never would come up with the ideas that God has, the solutions that God has, the answers that God has. God alone could imagine that. God is as odd as we hear in this chapter, chapter 35. Now, I'm going to read it again in just a moment, but I want to say some things about this chapter. God is as odd as the desert beginning to bloom. When you hear the word desert, usually you don't think of flowers. That's not the first thing you think of. One of the things that Cindy and I enjoy doing when we go back to San Angelo, we lived in Robert Lee for almost 12 years, and all of our children were born at Community Hospital in San Angelo, and we still like to go back. And one of the things we like to do, especially this time of year or even more in the fall, there's this park just across the street south of Central High School in San Angelo. And if you watch closely, you'll see a sign like that. And it's easy just to drive by that and not realize what's there. This is called the International Water Lily Collection. If you just drive by the street there, you won't know it's there. Even if you see that sign, you may not realize the significance of it. But if you get out of your car and you walk down a ways into this lower area, what you'll see is something like this. That's not a real clear picture, but I want to show you some more pictures, because what you'll see are these wonderful, and they tell me, I'm not an expert on water lilies, but they say this is not state level, national level, this is international level of a collection of water lilies. And that'd give you a little better idea of what you'll see if you walk down that little park there, just south of Central High School in San Angelo. And you'll see flowers like that. Now, if you were in Africa, in parts of subtropical Africa, that wouldn't be any surprise to see anything like that. What's the surprise there is that it's in this part of the world, in West Texas, to see an international level collection of water lilies. I mean, pictures like that. And you see those things, and they have dragonflies flying off. It's a beautiful place. But I thought of that international water lily park when I read chapter 35. Of Isaiah. And it says, the wilderness and the dry land will be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. And it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Let me read the rest of that passage. One of the things you're going to hear in this passage is that weak hands and feeble knees will get therapy, and they won't be weak anymore. And anxious hearts thinking that's anxious, well, they'll be told, fear not. And the eyes that are blind will see, and the ears that are deaf will be unstopped, and the lame people that have never walked a step in their life will be running and jumping like a deer. And tongues that have never spoken a word will start singing opera. And a waterless wilderness, there will be streams flowing. And the place that you usually think of being inhabited by jackals, if you want to put it in West Texas terms, foxes and coyotes, that instead there will be this beautiful place of reeds and rushes, water. And God has this odd way of looking at the present and seeing a whole different reality. And before I read this again, let me just remind you of a thing or two about this context in Isaiah. If you have read chapter 36, You may remember that there's this king named Hezekiah. And Hezekiah needs some help. He cannot imagine how God's going to pull through here. Because this bully nation from the east, Assyria, led by their king Sennacherib, has come into Judah and there's trouble. And it all looks like a desert to him. He doesn't see much hope of anything blooming. And did you notice how little it takes for God to fix this? If you read chapter 37. It says in chapter 37, verses 36 through 38, that the angel of the Lord in one night strikes down 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And in the morning, you can't find anybody except the dead ones. That's an odd kind of God who figures out a way to fix things that have gone wrong. And it's hard for human beings like Hezekiah or sometimes like me or you to figure out, really imagine that God can fix this. I want to read chapter 35. And the thing I want to encourage you to think about as you hear this passage is how odd God is, that He turns things around in surprising ways. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. And when you hear the words Lebanon and Carmel, for instance, you should think of trees and pine and mountains. That's what that's talking about. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our Lord. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, in the ancient world, heart is not the seat of emotions, it's the seat of your thinking, the center of your thinking. People who are always anxious in their thinking. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. And the recompense of God, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert, and the burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. And even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. That's a pretty good road if even the fools can stay on the track. And no lion shall be there. Nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Zion is the hill where the temple is. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. you read those next two chapters, and there's a lot of sorrow and there's a lot of sighing, and Hezekiah doesn't know what's going to happen next. He does have the sense to ask for God's help. And this odd kind of God, this one who is alone the Lord, he responds. In such a surprising way, as surprising as if the desert would begin to become a wonderful garden. You see, it is a good thing that God is odd. Because he has a better imagination than I do or you do. That God is odd, that God alone is the Lord. That's what makes life as God's church an adventure. Because he surprises us in good ways. What do people see when they look at this church? You ever wonder that? What do other people, how do we see ourselves? Maybe we see ourselves as a desert. Not much life there. Not much hope there. I wonder what God sees when he looks at us. A lot of people, when they look at us, I think what they see is a wilderness and a place for the jackals. Weak hands, feeble knees. Blind, deaf, lame, mute. And this odd kind of God says, you know, I can work with that. Nobody else may be able to do much with that, but I can. I can work with that. And not simply in spite of that, but in fact with that. That it maybe I'm now finally getting them lined up where I can do something with these folks. When people, other everybody else, and maybe even them, they themselves think they're just a desert. I think I can work with them. In 1930... a group that had been meeting for about 5 years in the courthouse basement here in Midland. Midland built a new courthouse in 1930. And I've never read this, but I kind of think that was part of what prompted the move to go ahead and build a building. Maybe there wasn't space anymore in the new courthouse. I don't know. But in 1930, some of that group that had been meeting in the courthouse built a building here on this location. And at that time, this was the very north edge, in 1930, this was the very north edge of Midland. In fact, before they called it North A, do you know what they called this church? North Side. We were North Side. And an odd kind of God said, you know, I can work with that. By 1963, when this congregation planted what is now Golf Course Road Congregation, this congregation was over 1,000 members. Why'd that happen? It wasn't because of us. It's because of God. A lot of times we cannot see potential where God does. We don't see the way God sees. What we can do is trust Him. What we can do is submit to Him. What we can do is act. Do what we can do. Not what we think somebody else, somewhere else thinks we ought to do, but what we can do. We can walk in faith. Why? Because we're not God. I know that may be a surprise to you. We need to admit that from every once in a while, don't we? We're not God. And every once in a while, we need to admit the church doesn't belong to us. Does it? It doesn't say Church of Amos out there. Does it? Or Church of Arnulfo. Does it? Whose church is this? It's Christ's. It's not ours. The Lord alone is God. We're not. The future is not up to me. The future of this congregation is not up to me. And it's not up to you. The church is God's. This congregation belongs to Jesus Christ. And that's why life is an adventure as a Christian, isn't it? Life as a member of the North A Church of Christ is an adventure, isn't it? Who knows what God may do? The same God who can make the desert bloom and make the blind to see and the mute to sing opera can, if He so desires, make this congregation flourish. See, I think that's good news, that God is odd. That God alone is the Lord.